Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. Would you like to be a guest in the show? Send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at Friends of Kevin. So get my friend Felicia Saucio with us. She is a loan officer. We're going to talk a little bit about mortgages today. Hey, Felicia, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on.
So I want to jump right in, and I want to tell you about everything I did wrong when I bought a house so we can try to help other people. So my wife and I are on a Sunday drive, and, hey, there's an open house. Babe, let's go. So we go wandering in. We look at it. Oh, it's beautiful. We love it. Three times what I could afford. So, you know, we come out of there like, hey, we should probably go get qualified for a mortgage, and the guy tells us what we can afford. I'm like, huh, that's a little bit less than the house. So shouldn't you start with the mortgage first and not make that mistake like I made?
Absolutely. It's definitely a case of putting the cart before the horse. People think, oh, I'm going to buy a house. Let me go call a realtor. When it really is the first step is, I'd like to buy a house. I wonder how much I can afford. Let me talk to a broker.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's essential, you know, find out what you can afford and what you're comfortable with, you know, because sometimes
exactly.
That may be different. You know, you're like, hey, you know what, I only want to take on this much of a payment. So once you know that, then you can go to the realtor and say, okay, this is what we're looking at. So much more natural way of doing things, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when my husband and I, when we went house shopping for our home that we're still in 22 years later, we actually fired our first real estate agent because she was looking at both of our incomes and ignoring the fact that I was on baby-making mission. And I told her very specifically, we need to do this on one income. And she's like, but you can afford this. I'm like, not as soon as I stop working, which is going to be soon.
Right, yeah.
So she was showing us houses way beyond what our comfort level was. So absolutely, you need to know before you talk to your realtor what you want to spend.
All right, let's go on to credit scores, because I find this to be a really interesting topic too. Because every now and then I come across somebody, you know, and we're talking about real estate. I'm like, you know, geez, why haven't you bought a house? Ah, geez, Kev, I have really bad credit. I'm like, oh, you know, and then they go on to tell me, yeah, you know, 25 years ago in college, I was late on my MasterCard payment. No one's going to give me a mortgage. Really doesn't work that way, right?
But what's funny
is the people who don't pay anyone, who unfortunately do have a bad credit score, think, oh, my credit's pretty good. Shouldn't we just sit down with you and find out what our credit score is before we make assumptions?
Well, actually, like the first thing, I love Credit Karma. I mean, they're always a little bit high by about 20 points on average. But start there or, you know, go to your annual credit report, but find out what you're looking at. We have programs for people with credit as low as 500. If you're below that, unfortunately, we're going to have to do some repair work for your credit. But if you have 500 or better, we can get there's a loan product out there for you.
So let's go back to the credit score for a minute, and you just mentioned credit repair. So to me, if I'm thinking of buying a house maybe this time next year, shouldn't I be talking to you now? So if I do have credit issues, we can have some time to fix them?
Absolutely. Pay your bills on time. Late payments negatively affect your score. So payment history on loans and credit cards makes up 35% of your FICO score, and a single late payment can drop your score by as much as 75 points, which potentially could change your interest rate or disqualify you. So, you know,
big.
I have
that's big.
It's huge. So set up your automatic payments. It's the easiest way. Pay it in full every month. And if you have several credit cards with debt, pay off the smallest ones first and then just stick to one or two cards. And then you don't have to worry about overextending yourself. It'll be so much easier to track what you're paying and what you're purchasing. Create a plan and make simple steps to fix it. But definitely a year in advance, that's not too soon to talk to somebody about mortgages.
Definitely makes sense. So now let's talk a little bit about budget. What is DTI and why is it so important?
Okay. DTI is your debt-to-income ratio, and you really want it to be below 43%. We have some programs, if your debt to ratio is at 50%, we can maybe make it work, but it's better to be less. So essentially, the lenders want to make sure that you're borrowing what you can afford. So we calculate your debt to income by we take all your debts that you're responsible for, add them up, and then divide them by your monthly gross income. If your total debt obligations are less than 43% of what your take-home is, then a lender will feel comfortable giving you a mortgage. If it's above 50%, you really aren't in a position to buy a home because all the other things that you want to do, like eat, go out to the movies, buy a coffee, you're not going to have the money for that.
So I want to talk a little bit about the difference between pre-qualified and pre-approved. I find people use these terms interchangeably, but I don't think they're the same thing.
Definitely they're not. So pre-qualified is you call me up and you say, so I'm thinking about a mortgage. This is, I'll just tell you verbally, this is what I make, this is the debt that I have, and this is what I'm comfortable in. And I just do some quick calculations, and it's just here. I think, you know, you should, if everything comes out equal, you should be able to afford, you know, a $200,000 mortgage. It's just to give you an idea when you're first starting out, especially if you're a first-time home buyer and you're doing pre-planning. There's not a letter go involved with that because it doesn't really carry any weight. Being pre-approved means that you have given the information. You've given me pay stubs, bank statements. I've pulled your credit and run your credit report. I've looked at all your financial obligations and reviewed them. I've figured out what your debt to income is. We've talked about what your sweet spot for a mortgage is, what you're comfortable with. And then I can give you a pre-approval letter that says, I have pre-approved you based on the information you've given to me that I've verified that you can afford a $250,000 mortgage. And that gives you negotiation power. You know what you can afford. And when right now there are seven people for every house that are looking to purchase. So if you have a pre-approval letter in your hand when you go to that house and you make an offer, the seller is going to look at that and say, oh, they're actually serious. If you go in and say, well, you know, I talked to a lender and I'm pre-qualified, then you still have all that application, all those other things to go through. It doesn't carry any weight, and you could lose that house to somebody else who did get pre-approved.
Makes perfect sense and stuff. Now, occasionally I've run into people and, you know, they want to buy a home and it's a $400,000 home. And they're like, how could I ever buy a home? Because they still think you have to put 20% down. They're like, you know, who has $80,000? You don't need to put 20% down anymore. Isn't that kind of outdated at this point?
Well, a conventional loan, you still have people that put 20% down, but it's definitely not what you have to do anymore. You can get mortgage rates with 3% down. FHA is 3.5% down. USDA has a program. It depends on what location you are, but USDA rural loans, you need a credit score of at least 640, but you can get 100% financing with no money down, just your earnest deposit. VAs, if you're a veteran, no down payment is required. So definitely 20% is not the standard anymore.
So I want to talk about PMI now. Because, you know, we hear the term, you got to pay PMI. What is it? What does it do?
Private mortgage insurance. It's called PMI. And it's mortgage insurance for conventional loans. And it protects the lender, not the borrower. If you stop making payments on your loan, if you default, the PMI covers the lender for their investment. It does not cover the homeowner. That's what PMI is. So you're required to pay for that on conventional loans. If you have an FHA loan, then there's a different type of insurance. And again, it's protecting the lender, not the borrower.
So now, one of the things that people get confused by is there's bankers, there's brokers, there's credit unions. You know, what's the difference? Does it matter?
It definitely matters. Banks are fantastic institutions, but they only have a few products. And at the end of the day, they're looking out for their best interests. Credit unions, about the same. They're looking out for the credit union's interest. As a broker, we have, you know, like 50 different lenders that we can contract with, that we talk to, that we go through the process of finding the best loan product for each individual, because every buyer has a different requirement. Brokers work for the borrower. I don't work for the bank or the lender that I use. I work for you. So my job is to get you the best product. And we have all these different lenders. Like I said, there's like 50 that we contract with that we can go through and find out what product is best suited for you, whether it's FHA or a 203 rehab loan or a USDA, a VA, a conventional. There's just more power when you work with a broker.
Makes sense. One of the things that people, you know, will say to me is, you know what, it's cheaper to rent than to buy. What do you say to that? Is that, do you think that's true?
No, I don't. It's expensive when you're buying a mortgage. When you start house hunting, it can be really scary. But at the end of the day, when you have a mortgage, you're building up equity. Renting never leads to equity, but owning a home does. And rent payments, they're like taxes. They increase every year. Your mortgage has a fixed payment throughout. You decide if you're going to refinance or if you're going to make improvements that will increase your taxes. You decide what happens with your mortgage. Your rent, you're at the mercy of your landlord. Owning your own home has tax benefits. You can write off your taxes, the interest, and some other things when you own a home. You can't do any of that when you rent. There's rent versus buying calculators you can go online and look at to see. But in the end, it's a little expensive to start up, but there's a cost benefit in a short few years to owning your own home versus renting.
Now, how about the question escrow or not escrow? What are your thoughts there?
Most people are not strict enough on their budget to not escrow. And escrow is just you pay when you first buy your mortgage. When you first get your mortgage, it's 7 months of the yearly taxes and 3 months of your homeowner's insurance. And that just, it's a benefit to the buyer as well as the lender. You don't have to worry about paying your taxes, because if you don't pay your taxes, you can lose your house. So escrow is always, in my opinion, always the way to go, because you pay for it, it's in your mortgage, and you don't have to think about it, and the money gets pulled every 6 months to pay the town taxes.
I strongly agree with that. In a past life, I worked in a real estate department paying taxes, and it was a horrible conversation with people who didn't escrow or didn't escrow enough, and you're like, you know, you're $200 short, and they're like, we don't have $200. Just like you said, gets in a real icky situation really fast. So, all right, so let's walk a little bit through the process. You know, so I do see that dream home. What happens next?
So when you find your dream home, after you've talked to your broker and found out how much money you can afford, and you're hired a real estate agent that you're comfortable with, and you found your dream home, then you just contact your lender and say, this is the house and I know I can afford it. And you and your real estate agent make up a purchase and sales and make an offer. And if it's accepted, then I get a copy of it and I start the process. It's very paperwork intensive, and there's some wait periods, but overall, you know, it's about 4 weeks, 6 weeks in the summer, could be 2 months, depends on if you have special circumstances with the home and things that need to be fixed or whatnot. But if you get your pre-approval and then you find your home, that's the biggest step right there. And then the rest of the paperwork
Amazing.
Just follows in.
So, Felicia, you got about 40 seconds left. How can people reach out to you? How can they learn more?
Okay. Again, Felicia Saucier. My cell phone is 603-325-5720. And my email is at fsaucier@insightmortgage.com.
Felicia, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Oh, Thanks, Kevin. I've had a great time and have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye now.
Thanks.